Home, we are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are BaltimorePositive.com. We are taking Crab Cake Row out on the road. We're not doing Radio Row. We're not doing the Super Bowl. We're doing the Cup of Soup or Bowl for the Maryland Food Bank. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I found out that the Raven Scratch-Off is still good to give these away. I got a handful of these. But many O snaps. The smell like gingerbread. We gave those away up at Hollywood Casino a couple weeks ago. We're going to be beginning on the 5th of February. That's Monday. Live radio. It's going to be like the Tonight Show, like old school. You ain't on the radio live no more, Nasty. 9 to 5. We'll be live all day, every day, to raise awareness for the Maryland Food Bank. So here's the deal. You bring stuff for the food bank, and we give you a cup of soup or bowl of soup, Maryland or cream of crab. And that's my promise. Beginning on Monday at Fadley's, Tuesday at Costas, Wednesday at Coco's, Thursday at State Fair, Friday at Pappas. If you come to all five, you'll get the benefit of eating crab cakes in fantastic locations and locales everywhere, all around town where this guy sells cars over at the Coons Baltimore Ford Security Boulevard. We don't have him around as much as we'd like through the turn of the year. But I could not at any point not think about people like you and people that have been there from the beginning. Leonard Raskin's one of these guys, my friends, that go out to the game, still there, tried and true, not selling your tickets for $50 on the internet to Texans fans. Dennis, it was quite a scene down there, and I can't wait to hear. You know, when I hear from Luke, he's behind glass and the game, but you're like out in the bowl. Give me – Put me where we are in all of this, because it's certainly the price point changed the audience. And we've talked about the audience at length and how their football and business operations are experiencing different things as the national TV deal kicks out $374 million for them that they wake up with that every year. But the vibe came back and a lot of people got to experience something to make a memory.
Yeah, it was a different crowd for sure, Nestor. A lot of people were cheering. As an example, when the offense was on the field, and we had to shush them and teach them the rules of engagement when facing an opposing team. But other than that, it was a very festive atmosphere, lots of high fives, lots of hugging, particularly in the second half. In the first half, everybody was nervous, but the crowd was into it. The noise was spectacular. It was evident at the stadium, was evident on television. With the Texans jumping off sides numerous times, but it was an electric atmosphere. And if that's an indication, I expect this Sunday at 3 p.m. for this stadium to be at its loudest point ever for a game. It was just amazing, and the atmosphere was incredible.
So, you know, this is a shoot interview. You're an old wrestling fan. Let's have a shoot interview, you and me, Dennis Kalatsos, okay? Because there's nobody listening. We know that, right?
Right.
There was a Raven executive who was very flippant with me about you back in the day in your radio show here. The fact that I'd have the audacity to have a car dealer on, you know, and, you know, I guess inevitably they would use all of this against me to sully my reputation as a professional, and I'm being boxed out of going to Vegas. So all these years later, for a guy like you, tell everybody your background in football and playing ball and selling cars and like all of that, but your age and where you come from and what it means to you, you know, all these years to have this, because, and I'm not going to dress this up too much, right? Like, I've been here for everything, right? I'm 55. My first memories are Catfish Hunter and Jim Palmer, 73, 74 playoffs. I only remember Johnny, you not being here in San Diego, and Marty Domras was the quarterback the first year. I was at the Kroner game. I was at Ghost to the Post. And then I was here for all the awfulness of the Mayflowers, and you still hate Irsay. I gave it up. I told the story about the Indianapolis Food Bank that really inspired what I'm doing here with the Cup of Soup or Bowl. So, for you and what this means, this is, we're never getting a Super Bowl here. We're never having an NBA. We might have a World Series one day, but this is the biggest event in the history of, this is the reason you built the stadium. This is supposed to incinerate downtown in some way that's incredible and bring people together in community. I think the price point allowed people to go and participate the other day that were inside the perimeter, who usually aren't inside the perimeter. But I've seen what parades do. I've seen what all this is. I don't know how to even experience what's going to happen outside of the stadium on Sunday in a normal environment in other places where, when you can't get in, 200,000 people come down to party. You know what I mean? Like, this is going to be the biggest night in the history of the city if they win this football game. And if they lose, it's, I mean, I've told this story this week. I walked out of Cleveland Stadium when John Elway beat them. I was at that game. Ernie, of course, he got me one single ticket on the 50-yard line down in the right field corner. And I watched Elway go from here to here and just destroy them inside that cold stadium. It was snowing a little bit. It was like a little flurry. It was cold as hell. It was 15 degrees, 20 degrees. And I walked out of that stadium and it was funereal. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and it's going to be one or the other, right? No matter how this goes down. And I, like, for you, what does this mean to you?
Well, as a 9-year-old coming over to the States in 1973 and I started living in a two-bedroom, one-bathroom, $90 a month roach-infested apartment complex off of Moravia and Sedonia, this is pretty heady stuff for me. I had a part-time job in high school so I can buy season tickets to the Baltimore Colts. So, yes, in the late 70s, early 90s, I was late 70s, early 80s, I was a season ticket holder for the Baltimore Colts. When they left in 1983, I was heartbroken. We were without football for, 13 years? I've been a season
ticket holder.
So, Ghost
of the Post, you didn't go to that game. No. That inspired you to want to buy tickets.
Correct.
And you bought tickets for Arch Schliester and Mike Pagel.
Absolutely. I was there for training camp. I was attending Townsend University on a football scholarship, played there for a couple of years. I'd go over there and watch those guys practice. And it was evident to me in my untrained eye that Mike Pagel, the seventh round draft pick, was better than Arch Schliester, the decorated quarterback from Ohio State. So, in 1996, I did purchase season tickets for the Ravens and been along for the ride ever since. So I've been there through the highs, through the lows, the disappointment of 2006, the five field goal game against the hated Colts and whatnot. And you're right, the highs are very high and the lows are very low when it comes to following this franchise and really breathing and living with them and watching their growth, their travels, and the highs of the 2000 season, the lows of the 2006 season, the Billy Cundiff miss, the following 2012 Super Bowl runs as wild card. So this is new for us, Nestor. We're favored. We're at home. We're expected to beat the Chiefs, right? We're three and a half point favorite. So this is hallowed ground, first playoff game and home AFC conference championship game in 28 years. So yes, I appreciate it. I appreciate the money that I've spent and the time I've invested in supporting this team and what it means to me.
Well, this is the culmination of all of that, right?
Absolutely.
This is the culmination, and I've said it sort of flippantly. This is why I wanted to sit with my wife. This is why being with my son and being with my family in New Orleans meant a lot to me. This is why I did a march to bring fans together to give them a story of glory, something to remember, something to take home with them. You know, and I'm doing this. I have my Blunt Person shirt on with Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter, and we're recapping these 25 stories of glory. The reason that the parade in New Orleans is special is because every day of my life, somebody comes up to me and tells me they were in it, or they were a part of it, or they saw a video of it, or somebody they know was in it. Like, other than the crab picking video, you know, it brings people together, and nothing brings people together like sports in our culture. And I've written two books as a premise. Both of the preludes to both of those were about what it meant to other people. And now that I'm on the periphery and having my walk in life be what it is, to watch other people have fun with it, I'm glad somebody else was in my seat paying for it and enjoying it. Even though I'm appalled that I was thrown out, I'm happy somebody was there, because it certainly felt like the last couple of years, people haven't wanted to go to the games at any price. I mean, tickets have been cheap forever. This is not a secret. You know,
they lost a lot of fans back in 2017. That's no secret either. They lost Harford County. They lost Western Maryland. I mean, they've lost a lot of fans, and we all know why they lost those fans. And in terms of them belly aching about having a car dealer on the radio, well, they don't belly ache about that Ford F-150 truck they show in a Jumbotron every time the Ravens get a first down. So they might not like car
dealers.
This is
a former executive. I'm just simply saying.
But they like the money.
Former executive.
But they like their money.
Well, I just think the flippancy of which how I've been treated personally, being someone, I'm not a helicopter media guy. This means something to me. It means something to my city. It meant everything to get the team back. It meant everything to get the team back to have nights like this. And I was the guy on the radio back in 2013 saying how awful it was that that night got destroyed by Peter Angelos playing a meaningless baseball game and sending Keith Urban down to the harbor and sending me and my wife out to Denver to watch Peyton Manning still throw touchdown passes that night, right? Like that, and it was a horrible thing to do to the franchise. It was a horrible thing that Joe Flacco didn't have that moment at home and that John Harbaugh, that they all didn't have that moment at home, right? And they're going to have that moment this week when the national anthem plays and the buzz happens and it's 3 o'clock and all eyes are on and, you know, 100 million people are watching the game and they're the two best quarterbacks. This is a heavyweight fight. And you know, when I got excited about it, Dennis, it wasn't at halftime when it was 10-10 and all the TV reporters are pooping on Lamar. And then he comes back sure. out and they run left, run right, pass here. They picked up the blitz. They made adjustments. Lamar F-bombed everybody in the locker room. Next thing you know, it's 34-10, right? But Sunday night, when I was watching the Bills and watching the big atmosphere there and the Little League lights, I don't care. They got to get better lights in that stadium before they.
Yeah, the shadows were terrible. You commented on that.
It looks like a Pop Warner. It looks like they're playing at Dundalk Community College, so which has better lights, by the way. thank you, Johnny O. but I watched this game and I'm watching this heavyweight fight: touchdown, field goal, punt. Field goal, touchdown, turnover, might be a turnover, not a turnover, fumble the ball through the end zone. You know, could have been a two-score lead, wasn't. Like, all of that drama and that heavyweight fight, boy, that's what we got here, dude. From a football perspective, we felt maybe a little San Francisco and the Rams and Detroit. You know, this is the heavyweight fight. This is the fight we've been looking forward to, right? This is Bruno and Stan Hansen, to put it in your parlance.
Yeah, no question about it. This is the matchup that I wanted. I didn't want to see the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen. I wanted to see Patrick Mahomes, and we're gonna get that, right? What did Ric Flair say? To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
Woo!
That's exactly right. So bring in Taylor Swift and all that she brings, and you know, I think it's great. And you know, I got to tell you, I have a really good vibe about this team. And I think the difference is going to be the defense. The defense has been suffocating. They've been lights out. With having the 12th man at a fever pitch this Sunday, Nestor, that's going to give them a huge advantage. Jadeveon Clowney made a comment. He said, you know what? It also takes away the noise, takes away the opposing quarterback's ability to hard count the defense. So that's one less thing they have to worry about. So I do think that they're coming into a very hostile environment. And Lamar Jackson, you gotta think he's got a Texas-sized chip on his shoulder still, right? Until he wins the Super Bowl. And even then, he's going to get criticized. This young man needs to win two Super Bowls to cement his legacy. Not just one, but they have to take care of business this Sunday, and I think they will.
Well, Dennis will be at the game. Luke will be at the game. Luke's out in Owings Mills all week long. And to get back to what it means to the city, because I talked to Bill Cole about this from Cole Roofing, just like this is why we build stadia. This is why we get teams. This is what, like, these kind of moments for the city, you know, where the stadium would flood out into the streets and do something that it's bigger than New Year's. It's bigger than 4th of July. It's like we almost got a World Cup here, right? We're never getting an Olympics. We get a World Series, it'd be kind of amazing and cool, but I don't think it appeals to all cross sections of people in the way the football does. Certainly not. I mean, I'm not speaking any language anybody doesn't understand when you see the ratings of the 93 of the top 100 TV shows or football games at this point, right? But this specifically for our city and 53 years of waiting for all of this, right? Like, and the culmination of what Eric DaCosta has built and what this version of the Ravens would be under the Lamar era, right? I mean, for Harbaugh, it's two eras. For DaCosta and Ozzie, it's three. You know, going back to Brian and going back to Trent Dilfer. And I know Ray's going to come out and dance this week. If there's any trick you got this week in regard to the fans, in regard to Michael Phelps being here, and I was a little flippant in toward the Stronach family and the people that have run the Preakness into the ground, and saying this is the difference between the Derby and the Preakness. This is like celebrities are going to be here. They had Cal Ripken there. This is the night you want to make Baltimore shine, right? I mean, this is This is our city's night as much as it's Lamar Jackson's night or the football team's night. It's a night to celebrate Baltimore because, you know, I mean, it's like a Rocky, you know, we did it. You know, we're going to have the big game here. Then you got to go win it. But just having it, there's a point around here this week that, I don't know, I got a little extra pep in my step, and I'm certainly not proud of the way they've conducted themselves in a lot of ways. And certainly it is a little – I mean, come on, man. You love the team. Don't play the Pollyanna role here. Dude, they were giving tickets away for 50 or 60 bucks because it was 20 degrees and nobody wanted to go to the game.
Sure.
Like,
of course.
That happened here 4 days ago. Like, there's something wrong. You know what I mean? Like, they're winning, and I get it, but, like – and I don't know that everybody that was down there last week that spent their $100, like they had a good time and all. And if that equates to them being in those seats next year, doing the same thing for a generation, you know what I mean? That like blast games were like that, right? Like once you went to a blast game, you wanted to go to all of them and they were affordable. You know, it was like a movie date. You could do it. Football's a little different. It's different commitment in a lot of different ways, but we did tailgating and we did this and that. And I talk about all of this as I'm celebrating all the things we've done here for 25 years. I don't know what the next thing is. I know they're getting $500 million to build a big brass bar in front of the place, but if it gets populated and it gets used and we win, and then because we win, good things happen. Mm-hmm. That's the way this is supposed to work. Because I know one way it can't work. They can't suck. They can't be what the Carolina Panthers are right now or what the Browns have been or what the Lions have been. Tickets for the Lions game, Dennis, on Sunday were $500 to get in. Tickets here on Saturday were $50. That's weird.
I think you'll see a difference this weekend. I think the ticket prices will be through the roof. It'll be the hottest ticket in town. Weather forecast looks like 44 degrees, Ness. A lot of people coming in. Shaquille O'Neal is going to be in town. A lot of celebrities, and it's going to be off the hook. And I also think that this team has a chance to establish a younger, newer fan base that hopefully will have the same passion that we did back in 2012.
Well, good times should be had by all. Taylor Swift's coming to town. From a tactical standpoint, what worries you?
Their defense. You know, they have some players. Chris Jones is an absolute monster, a defensive tackle. Their defense is a little bit under the radar, although they're getting some more favorable press lately. But I do think it's going to be a heavyweight fight. Of course, how can Patrick Mahomes not worry you, right? The guy is amazing. He's mercurial. But I do think the Ravens will I think it's going to be a very close game, but I do think the Ravens are going to wear him out in the second half. This is a legacy game for Lamar Jackson and also for John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh wins a Super Bowl. He's going to be a definite Hall of Fame coach if he's not already. So this is a legacy game for guys like Harbaugh, Roquan, and certainly for Lamar Jackson.
Well, and also a place for Matabike and Hamilton.
Absolutely.
And this next tier are really guys that are really good football players. Dennis Colatos is here. He's over Coons Baltimore Ford. We love him. I can't imagine like not having you on this week or not. Leonard Raskin's off running around. I'm trying to get him around here too because so many of you have invested like I did my life in this, right? Yeah. I mean, chasing them around from combines to owners' sure. meetings, from drafts to summers to Ocean City Fan Fest to speaking at every roost and nest and function and barn shows and how much of my life I invested in it. This is something I've never seen. And I'm not going to the game this week. I'm not buying a ticket. I have my own level of protest at the level that I should be as a professional, not offered anything differently than Jerry Coleman is or, you know, other people, which is the access to do my job. So, I stand firmly on that side of and watching it on TV, I must say to you, Dan, it's different. I don't see the game as well.
It's a different game. Yeah, I like watching both. I like watching in person than watching it on TV because you do miss certain aspects and gain certain perspectives when you're there in person and also via television.
Well, one thing I would Chad Steele's going to get a letter from me soon too, but what I would write is the seats I have were just unbelievable. You know, I mean, I got seats in the very, very beginning in the front row, in the middle of the upper deck where Marvin Lewis and Jim Schwartz told me to sit next to the coach's film. Literally, I sat the man next to me, he would sometimes put our coffee and water and things, you know, our jackets and scarves would meander into the little camera hole for all of my PSL-dom. And I had PSLs up in the sixth row, 513. And seeing the game there, it's different. And the elements and the cost and the this and the that and moving to the sub, like I'm good. I'll just say this, watching it on TV and getting the hot button reaction, not just on Twitter and on social media, but watching the broadcast and being the broadcast being my vehicle to watch the game primarily. It was amazing at halftime when the score was 10-10 to feel this, how cold the building got. Luke talked about going to the media buffet, which I'm very familiar with, how quiet that can be when you see Pat Moriarty, George Koukinis, Joe Ortiz, Eric DaCosta. Like, I've dined with those guys for 25 years. I've known those guys since we were 20 in our 20s, all of us. Well, Moriarty's a little older, but yeah, all like all that. And I would see their mood at halftime and see the all the executives, all the scouts, all the secretaries, everybody is up in that press box eating in the same amongst all of us. And I cannot imagine the oxygen there that day, because just watching the television part of this, of them going from the field to the booth to, and everybody's like, what is going on here? Where were you at halftime? And obviously Lamar did something that video or audio will surface to that at some point in Purple Rain 3 or when they write their 30 for 30, but something had happened at halftime there that I don't want to say saved their season, but certainly breathed life into the building and into them not finding themselves in the circumstance that San Francisco found itself in, or Buffalo missing a kick that cost them a chance to win.
I think we were all uneasy, apprehensive, right? You were hoping that the Ravens will come out firing in the second half. They'd held on the plus side, they held the Texans to only 3 points, gave up the special teams punt return. On the negative side, they weren't having much success moving the ball against the Texas defense. So it was a lot of apprehensions, a lot of tension. And when the Ravens came out in the second half, drove down the field, scored a touchdown, you breathe a little bit easier. And then all hell broke loose and took care of business in the second half. But yeah, certainly at halftime, you were like, okay, a bad bounce here, another special teams breakdown there. And, we could be headed to deep water where we might drown. So it was nice to see the Ravens come out firing in that second half.
One of the things I've always loved about having you on is that you manage people. You've managed hundreds of people at Koontz Baltimore Ford for the Koontz family for years and years and years. And all sorts of people, you know, young people, old people, black people, white people, you know, rich people, poor people, well-paid people, people trying to make more, people coming and going, people going to other dealerships, like all of that that football has, right? And trying to bring people together, and you and I have talked so much about this, and it's what you love to talk to Coach Billick about and other people's about leadership. I led people here. I had a different kind of organization back in the day and trying to grow my company in that way in the AM radio space, like selling Edsels, although I hear they're back. The management side of this, for Eric to bring this talent together on the football side, right? And we can talk about the empty seats and like that's the business side. And I thought it was an interesting thing the other night talking about both sides of that and how it works in places like Kansas City, Detroit, having to sell tickets without having good football, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that really hard to do. Cleveland, places where your team sucks, where it doesn't work in Jacksonville, it doesn't work in Carolina. We've never sucked here long enough to know whether it wouldn't sell tickets, and they're winning and they're begging me to buy tickets here. So, and Washington's dismantled, and in Philadelphia, it's still $300 to go see them play anybody. So like in market to market, how these things work, but from the football side, John has been gifted at bringing in coaches. Eric has been gifted in scouting and players and player development and being ahead of the game, and John bringing in coaches that can zig and zag and personnel and all of that. This is a really weird time for them if they were to lose this game this week or even lose the Super Bowl, God forbid, against two teams they've blown out, which is, you know, not often you get to the Super Bowl and you're like, let me crush both of these teams. How in the world are we going to lose the Detroit Lions if they get there? But I would say this. This is not for long, and right? I mean, like, Monken, McDonald, all the coaches, players, Matt Ibike, tagging guys, Patrick Queen, like, this is as good as it gets, avoiding Josh Allen, getting the bye week. Maybe they get Marlon Humphrey back. Maybe they get Mark Andrews back. But, like, they are so positioned right here, right now, that to think that they're just going to get back to another championship game and they're going to be at home and it's going to be easy and they're going to be healthy and they're going to have the next Zay Flowers from a draft or the next Kyle Hamilton, because all these guys are going to have to get paid too. Like, they are really well put together right now, and we're going to remember this for what it was, which is a bunch of really good football. They have the best talent. They have way more talent than Kansas City this week, and certainly they've proven that they have more talent than San Francisco and Detroit on a flat field.
Yeah, not to look forward to the Super Bowl, Nestor, but I do think this is their toughest matchup in the playoffs. If they can beat the Chiefs advancing, I think they'll handle the Niners or the Lions. I can't imagine that the Lions are going to beat the 49ers, but that ball does take strange bounces at times. But and also, what I was encouraged by was Lamar's play in cold weather. I've always suspect that he doesn't like cold weather. I don't know that anybody does, but he hasn't performed well in frigid conditions. He played well in the second half. It's going to be warmer Sunday, and should they get past the Chiefs, and they're playing in Las Vegas in a controlled environment, indoor environment, I think they'll be fine. But to me, they've got to beat the Chiefs. And like you, these things are not a given. They're once in a lifetime opportunity sometimes, and the Ravens must cash in. Anything short of a Super Bowl victory, to me, is a disaster. It really is.
You know, if I'm writing this Purple Rain 3, this time off they had to get people healthy, they decoy Andrews last week, likely makes a couple of big catches. They didn't throw the ball a lot. They adjusted. They were getting their ass kicked in the first half on the blitz. They had the nightmare of the special teams breakdown at home on a cold day when, you know, they gave the offense 7 points by the special teams giving it away. They should have been behind at halftime and they weren't. And then they came out and made every coaching tactical and then executed in running the football and saying, we're going to play a different way. That's very Belichickian. It's probably very Andy Reidian. And Spagnuolo is going to have, you know, 10 clubs in his golf bag this week because he's got some personnel to do that in the same way that right now McDonald does. But I speak on the management side that if, you know, Dennis, if you come in one day and you're head of your mechanical department, and you're head of your sales, and you're head of your this, and, the, you know, and then we get a snowstorm, like managing through all of this is going to be difficult enough because this band is not going to get put back together. This is I don't say once in a lifetime offer, but it's going to be very, very hard. Could and be. The Chiefs are an example of this, right? And the Bengals are an example of this. And the Eagles are an example of this. All these teams went to the Super Bowl, the Rams. You lose personnel, right? At some point, the Legion of Boom becomes nothing. At some point, it all falls apart, and it falls apart quicker than you think. And that window is here and now for them. And I think the halftime speech for Lamar, I like the fact that their testicles got shrunk for a little bit and that Absolutely. They got a scare put in them and that all the TV heads were like, oh my God, here we are. Because if they're losing 17-13 this week, it won't be like they can't come back or whatever. But special teams breakdowns, defense is stout, taking care of the ball, and really whatever Mahomes is, right? And whatever their trickery will be and whatever they're going to try to do, this is a heavyweight fight, and this is a fight where bad stuff's going to happen. There's going to be turnovers.
Absolutely.
Chiefs are going to score. This is not going to be 27-3 at halftime because the Chiefs have kicked the ball around six times and come in here with a yellow puddle. I don't believe that. I don't believe Patrick Mahomes wants to fall behind. And I saw a little piss and vinegar in his eyes saying, oh, Patrick, you won a couple Super Bowls. What do you have left to do? Go to Disney World? No, I've never done this on the road. And y'all don't think we're a good road team. We're going to show you. We're going to show you we can play anywhere.
Well, he's a very me guy. I saw an interview that completely turned me off. Just I understand they have to have good ego strength, but he was over the top. And I'll leave you with this, Nestor, that Dan Marino watched him in his sophomore year go to the Super Bowl, and you would think this guy would go back multiple times. He never went back a single time. So to your point about how special these windows are in time that open up when things align properly, as great as Dan Marino was, he went to one Super Bowl, he lost to the great Joe Montana, and never went back. And that's a cautionary tale for this Ravens team.
When I talked to Luke about Philip Rivers and Warren Moon and Dan Marino and Matt Ryan and just go down the list. These guys are great quarterbacks. Yeah. Donovan McNabb. I mean, you know, the guys that Joe Burrow right now still fighting, right? Jared Goff lost one. He's has a chance to get back to one next week. That'll be the story, whether we're crying or celebrating. Jared Goff's trying to get back to a Super Bowl, and they said he couldn't do it. They said the Lions couldn't do it, and Dan Campbell was biting knees and kneecaps, and like all this stuff was going on. Four storylines this week. Only going to be two winners, and there going to be a lot of hurt feelings. We certainly hope it's not us. A cup of soup or bowl. It is our Crab Cake Row promotion. Maryland Lottery, friends at Window Nation, our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare as well, putting it all on. Begins the 5th of February. That's Monday at Lexington Market, Fadley's. Tuesday at Costas. Wednesday at Coco's. Thursday at State Fair. Friday at Pappas. I'll be telling you all about it. We're giving away a free cup of soup or bowl of soup. Anytime, all day long, 9 to 5 for the Maryland Food Bank. We're also featuring 100 charities that week. So I've got about 35. If you know of a charity, Dennis, you got somebody, Ness at BaltimorePositive.com, or find me on IM anywhere this week as we get ready. Luke's in Owings Mills. Dennis is selling cars at Security Boulevard at Coons Baltimore Ford. Love you, bro. Appreciate you. Fingers you crossed, man. Okay?
Got it.
Fingers crossed. I'll see you next Monday. You're going to come on if you lose, right? You're not going to be like a grouchy coach or whatever, right? Like, literally, right?
When I lose, I'm around, and I do expect us to have a happy conversation this coming Monday.
And you're not going to Las Vegas, right?
There's some things that will prohibit me from doing that.
Okay. But well, I'm just hitting everybody because people change their minds on the other end.
No, believe me, I wish I could go, but I have some things that I take precedent over that. But first things first, and look, like I always say, it's not my plan. It's somebody else's plan. I just happen to still be around to embrace it.
I give my wife random Dusty Rhodes lines from time to time. I said, take care of business, baby. Take care of business. Dennis Colatos is here. He is D. Colatos Show, and Dennis Colatos out on the Twitter and the X thing. I'm Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore Positive. No one listens, but everybody hears.